When I mentioned earlier that maybe there's something deep down inside that I'm not dealing with that I need to figure out, I can't do it when I'm in an altered state. I can't find my self-awareness in a bottle of Chardonnay. It's just not going to happen because the alcohol is there and it numbs your senses. It gives you this false sense of euphoria, this false sense of reality. Hey, welcome back to Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I'm Shelley and I am your host, and I like to refer to myself as a midlife strategist and recovering self-help addict. This episode is going to be a little tough for me because I'm going to talk about some things that are going to make me really uncomfortable, but I think that's important. Growth does not occur without some uncomfortableness. Is that a word? Well, it is now. I want to say real quickly, though, before I get started, that if you've been following me, in particular episode zero, I talk about some health issues I've been diagnosed with recently. Nothing too terribly major, although at the age of 57, they could quickly become major. I have found out now that I can't eat watermelon, and that makes me very sad because I love watermelon. But this episode is not about watermelon, it's about habits, and in particular, the habit of drinking. I was really surprised when I got online and did some research and found out that women over 50 are drinking in, oh my gosh, the number of women over 50 drinking is increasing substantially every year, and it's killing us. It is killing us. There are lots of reasons for it, and I'm going to talk about the reason that I started drinking and why I have now stopped drinking, and how this is going to help you create more self-awareness. You know, we're on this whole theme of self-awareness for the next few episodes. And I'm going to tell you, you can't find self-awareness in a bottle of Chardonnay. It just doesn't work. So my habit of drinking, I used to drink in high school. I mean, who didn't, right? No, but seriously, mostly on the weekends, it was Miller Ponies, 3.2 beer, nothing major. And then I got married and I didn't drink. I mean, I think on occasion I would have like a wine cooler, but then we had kids and who can afford to drink then and who has the time? I just never really imbibed in my 20s and 30s. I just didn't drink at all. And when I turned 40 and divorced my first husband, my best friend told me, because my kids were mobile, they were 14, 16, and 18, and I didn't always have them on the weekend. They had cars and friends. Nothing really changed with them in terms of, you know, being gone on the weekends. And I had a parenting plan with their dad, but like I said, they were older and mobile, and they could pretty much do what they wanted. And my friend said, you know, when you're alone on the weekends, it's going to be tough without the kids there. And she said, you know, cook yourself a nice dinner, buy yourself a nice bottle of wine. That's what I did. And then a bottle of wine turned into two bottles of wine. And I married my second husband, who turned out to be a real shithead, and in lots of ways. And he would buy me wine. He would buy me wine, bring it home. I think it was to appease me, to keep me calm, because he knew that if I were drunk, I was probably happy. And I wasn't going to be up his ass about anything. And then it just became a habit. And there's a really good quote I want to give you by Zig Ziglar. All bad habits start slowly and gradually, and before you know, you have the habit has you. And I just thought that was really good because all of a sudden, my drinking has become a problem. It's become a bad habit. And it started with coming home and having a glass of wine when I got home. You know, one glass of wine is fine. You get a little fuzzy. Maybe you get that really great relaxed feeling and you're thinking, I'm just going to have another one. And then all hell breaks loose. And, you know, who knows how much you're going to drink. And sometimes I would stop with one glass of wine and sometimes I wouldn't. And then that morphed into binge Sunday mimosas. And after my diagnosis of diverticulitis, I just decided, you know, it's just not worth it for me. It's not worth it for me because no amount of wine is worth my health. No amount of gin and tonics or Sunday morning mimosas is worth my health. So I am stopping the habit of drinking. You know, it's been fairly easy. I don't consider myself an alcoholic, but isn't that what all alcoholics say? But seriously, I don't consider myself an alcoholic, but once I would start drinking, sometimes I would have a hard time stopping the drinking, you know, for that day or that evening. I believe drinking really impedes your progress of self-awareness. Sometimes I wonder, is the drinking a habit or am I trying to cover up for something? I mean, my life is pretty good. It's stress-free. Steve and I travel a lot. I have enough money. I have a nice place to live. I mean, it's not like I'm really wanting for anything. I think it has to do with being turning 57, having some regrets and some remorse and some guilt and just things, trauma over the years, starting when I was a child, that are still there. I don't want to deal with them. And I start thinking about them when it's quiet or when a particularly bad moment comes along. And I get sad and I start thinking about them. And so, you know, it's a whole combination of things. I can't really think of why now at this age when my life is seemingly so good that I'm drinking. And I know that I have to deal with some issues because, like I said before, my life's really great. I don't really want for anything. So something's going on. And then, you know, you start drinking for one reason and then it becomes the habit, like Mr. Ziegler says. Before you know you have the habit has you. That's difficult to break. When I mentioned earlier that maybe there's something deep down inside that I'm not dealing with that I need to figure out, I can't do it when I'm in an altered state. I can't find my self-awareness in a bottle of Chardonnay. It's just not going to happen because the alcohol is there and it numbs your senses. It gives you this false sense of euphoria, this false sense of reality. I can remember having a couple of margaritas and being like, oh my gosh, my life's so great. My life is so wonderful. And you know, like I said, in a lot of ways it is, but in some ways there's something going on. And that drinking just really stuffs down all those things that you need to think about and that you need to deal with. So I'm going to work really hard on figuring out what those are, and I will share those with you. I really kind of think I know what they are at this moment, but I need to put some words to them and to be able to verbalize that better before I chat with you listeners about it. I'm not going to try to be one of those really vigilant or vigilante sort of people. You know, you hear about ex-smokers who are just like really adamant about you not smoking, but I'm going to encourage you, especially if you're a woman over 50 and you find yourself drinking a little more than you should, to develop some better habits when that occurs. Like, for example, in the evenings, when I get home, I'm going to go for a walk and fix myself a healthy dinner. And that will then replace my habit of picking up that first glass of wine, which leads to two or three glasses of wine. I'm going to switch that habit out with walking because you don't really end a habit. You don't really break a habit. It's always back there in the cavewoman part of your brain. It can always be easily triggered again and started back up. So it's easier if you take a habit and replace it with another. So if you find yourself coming home in the evenings and feeling like you deserve that glass of wine or you need to de-stress or you're upset about something, stop for a moment and think, what can I do instead of having that glass of wine? And just try that. Try that for 2 or 3 days and see if that works for you. Now, one of the things that's going to happen, and I talk about this in my Create Better Habits course, and I did a video on it as well, is that when you stop covering up the emotions can get the better of you. You're going to start feeling things. You're going to start thinking things. You're not going to know how to settle those feelings. If trading the wine for walking is causing you to start to feel the feels, then just sit with it. Sit with it for a little bit and just feel it. It's not bad. It's not good. It just is. Your anxiety might be high for a little bit, but then your anxiety will start coming down. It may take you 5 or 10 minutes, but I promise you, if you just sit with it and let it be, and if you start thinking about things, say, okay, that's a thought, and now I'm going to dismiss it and just swipe it out of your mind. And if that happens again, it's just a thought. I'm going to dismiss it and swipe it out of your mind. And just sit with those feelings for a little bit. I promise you, they will subside, and then you'll be able to continue on your walk, and you'll develop better coping mechanisms and better habits than grabbing a glass of wine or alcohol in the evenings. Now, let me tell you, it's not easy. It is not easy, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my gosh, you know, just sit with your emotions and trade out wine for walking, and your life's going to be fabulous. It's going to suck. It's going to really suck when you have to develop some good coping mechanisms and you're like, man, you know what? I don't want to think about this shit. I don't want to deal with this crap. I just want to be happy and fuzzy. It's not going to be easy, but I promise you it's going to be well worth the trouble, because I'm already feeling, after 15 days, 16, 17 days now, I don't remember, of not grabbing a glass of wine in the evenings, I have replaced my glass of wine with delicious cherry lime LaCroix. I feel much better. I really do. Now I'm having a lot of moments. I find I'm just having a hard time even articulating what I'm feeling in the moment. But I have to say, I do feel a lot better. So I hope, dear listeners, if you are struggling with this, or you know someone who's struggling with this, I hope these tips really help you. And if you know someone who could benefit from what I've talked about in this podcast today, please, please feel free to share it with them. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you. And until next time, stay awesome.